You're listening to Liberation Lives Know God for Real podcast, where you can experience God for yourself and know his ways. We break down the misunderstood topics concerning God and debunk the myths you've heard your entire life. I'm your host, Sharian. We're on a first name basis around here, and I'm an ordained minister and evangelist. So let's get started, right? I think so. Let's go. Hey y'all, welcome back to Liberation Live. This is Sharian and I'm so excited to have you here with me today. Okay, let's jump right in. So I want to talk about why Christianity is not working for you. Now, I'm going to assume if you're watching this video that it is tailor-made, honey, for you. If not, keep watching. You know, it could be for somebody. I'm going to assume also it's not for you. Because I hope it's not for you. But for the ones that is for, this for you. Okay, for real. I'm talking about why Christianity is not working for you. What do I mean by that? Well, there's a lot of people nowadays who are leaving Christianity in droves. In case you haven't seen the news, girl, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, guys, too. Many people are leaving. Why are they leaving the faith? They are leaving in droves. And I think it's a few reasons, right? Because of the fact that you cannot make the assumption that people are coming to Christianity for the same reasons and leaving Christianity for the same reasons. You have to think about the fact that people come into this thing from different angles, right? Some people are born into the faith because their parents were in the faith and they just usher you right on in there. And then you have other people who were, they had like miraculous conversions. They had supernatural situations happening. They had supernatural healings and they come into it from a very radical conversion. Some people were in prison, in jail, and they came in it because they hit their rock bottom and they had that, what some people call jailhouse religion. Then you have other people where they came from another religion and they tried all the different religions and they came over here because it was like this worked for them, right? So some people are finding religion based on what suits them, what you know, is solving their life problems. It's not necessarily about if it's the truth or it's not the truth, but it's more so it's like, does it work, right? And I want to deal with that. I want to park there. This video is for the people where it's like, yo, Christianity is not serving my needs anymore. It's not serving my needs. If that's you, I think this will talk to you because of the fact that, well, one, I think you need to ask yourself a question, right? And the question is, do you treat religion as something that is more of a tool? Right? Because you have some people that are like, it needs to solve my problems. It needs to give me peace. Or it could be like, you know, for you, it needs to bring you happiness. For other people, it's like, it needs to bring them their best, their dream job. It needs to bring them their dream car and their dream man, right? It needs to be full on manifestation, honey. Like, give me what I need, right? You have those people, right? And I want to park there because I want to ask, in the case of that, where it's like Christianity is not getting me what I need and what I'm looking for quickly enough or in the fashion that I wanted, or it's not doing it for me, are you treating spirituality as a tool to solve your problems rather than treating it as I want to know the truth? Right. Now, some people, they come into the faith that way. They tried everything and they land upon Christianity after deep, deep thought and deep, deep study, deep, deep research. And they say, I believe Christianity is the truth. I believe that it should be a mixture of that. And maybe, you know, folks that have the dramatic conversion. I think that if you come into it other ways, it can work. But I think you should make sure that what you're practicing is the truth. Right? Because if you end up going over, like I just did a video on meditation and, you know, it came down to whether you truly believe in God and understanding if he put you on this earth? Were you put on this earth for him to serve you, or were you put on this earth for you to serve him? Right? I think we have this thing kind of like, you know, we kind of see religion as a self-serving thing where it's like, I needed to solve my problems, and we treat it like a medicine, so to say, like a spiritual medicine that gets us to where we need to go. And I want to challenge that and ask, do we care? Are we looking for solutions? Are we going to treat it like I'm looking for my perfect job, I'm looking for my perfect car, I'm looking for my perfect man, and I'm looking for my perfect religion? Or is it going to be, yo, I'm looking for the truth? If it's I'm looking for the truth, I want to ask you to challenge whether you're going about this thing the right way. Now, I don't want to discredit or like take away from the fact that maybe it really feels like it's not serving your needs anymore. And I'm going to get there as to why that could be. But I want to first start by asking you, if you feel like it's not serving your needs, could it be that you're looking at this thing wrong and that you're placing yourself in the center, and then you're making it where religion, I'm going to use the word religion, but really I'm saying God, is having to wrap around you and your needs, and see you be the center of the universe versus God is at the center and you revolve right around him. Now, I think being that we are human and we want things to kind of go how we want it, we're naturally kind of like insular. We're naturally thinking about ourselves and our emotions and what our needs are. But the thing about it is, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and try to sell Christianity to you, because here's the truth. Christianity ain't for everybody. And it's not on some like Christianity ain't for everybody exclusive type of deal. I'm more so saying it's not for everybody, because everybody, though God desires all those that he created to be his, and he wants you to say yes, he knows everybody won't do that, because everybody has free will. You know, you get to make a decision in your mind whether this is what you want or you don't want. And God's never going to violate the fact that you're a free moral agent. He's not going to violate that. He loves you too much to violate that. But he is going to ask you and say, I hope that you would choose me because I'm the truth, right? All the other religions, right? And I always hesitate to say religion because of the fact that you can't put God in a box and call it religion. Like, can you imagine creating a bunch of, you know, creating humans and then they create a label for you and tell you, oh, that's that thing, throw it over there. Like, can you imagine that? Like, think about that. But I'm saying that, do you treat it as this thing that, actually I lost my train of thought. Will I be? Okay, let's keep moving. All right. Because I really lost it. Like, I really lost my train of thought. And I ain't even gonna pause it. I'm gonna let it stay. Okay. So I want to jump in the fact that, like, a scripture that shows why it's not for everybody, right? And then I want to ask you and challenge you to think about whether this is something you want. If you're on the edge and you're already inching your way out, like, you're like, sis, I'm already in New Age. Sis, I'm already in Hinduism. Sis, I'm already in Yoruba. Bruh, I don't want to throw y'all. I don't want to leave y'all out. You here. We here, bruh. Don't leave me. Okay. If you're already on the edge and you're like, this, I'm not sure is for me. Like, I'm not sure it's for me. I hear you. Here's what I want to say. I want to jump into a scripture. So Luke 14. Luke 14, 25. Okay. Luke 14, 25. I'm going to jump into that. Let's read it. I'm going to read it to you. I don't know how to work video yet, so I can't like throw things up on the screen for you yet. I'm technically challenged low key. Like, I have an internet job in real life, and I really am technically challenged. Like, somebody come help me. If you know how to do video, like, shoot me an email. I don't know. Like, do something. Hop in the comments. I really do need help. I'm praying about that. Okay. Luke 14:25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate their father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you," now don't leave me just because I'm reading scripture, y'all, because you know people be checking out when you read scripture. Like, push through. There is something stopping you from listening to this scripture. Don't let it, like, stay with me. Okay. "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." Okay. Now, here's the first thing interesting that you should notice about this. Jesus, when he would stop and talk to the crowds and he would see multitudes building, he would do this very interesting thing where, like, most people today, regardless of what they're selling, even if they're selling nothing, if they see a crowd building to follow them, even your average church, okay, as quiet as it's kept, they will do their best to keep you with them. They will not begin to say things to push you away or to make you stop following them. Your average person on this earth, because we love ourselves, honey, and we all feel like we should be followed low key, they will not push you away, right? But Jesus was like the only human that we can think of and know of that pushed people away. He saw them coming and he was like, "Wait a minute. Yo, if you come to me, you gotta hate." And when he says hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, right? He's not saying literally hate. I think this is like hyperbole. I think it's more of you should care about me, love me more, so much more that it, like, the level of how far apart they are, your love is for me in comparison to how much you love them and yourself, is so much lower. It's like the equivalent, the distance between it is the equivalent of love and hate, right? But not actual hate. I want to make sure that's clear. And he says that if you don't do that, if you don't even have that, you can't be my disciple. You can't be my disciple. So I think the thing to understand here is that he's trying to communicate that it's a certain level of requirement in order to follow him. In order to follow him, it's going to be a requirement there. And something that's really interesting is that he says at the bottom there that suppose a king wants to go to war with another king. This is an interesting analogy that he uses because of the fact that when you follow Christ, you're choosing to go to war. Like, you, it's not, you know, pancakes and syrup. Like, it's not, you know, Benzes and Ferraris. Like, it's, you know, it's definitely going to be some blessings. It's definitely going to be some good. Ultimately, you're going to get the, you know, you're going to win a crown if you stick and endure to the end. But you don't pick this life because necessarily it's so suitable for you. You choose it because of the fact that you've come to a realization and a revelation that is the truth. And so I think that said, I want to push back, you know, to the fact that, just a second, y'all. Okay. I had to get situated real quick. All right. No, here's where I'm at. Can you tell how organized I am? I'm really organized. I swear I'm really, really organized. Okay. What I was going to get at is this. I don't know where you are at specifically, but when you come into Christ, there's a decision that gets made. And the first step is belief. The first step, which is absolutely a non-negotiable, is belief, right? And I might have said this in one of my past videos before, but when you come into Christ, it only works if you believe. And there are levels to this thing, right? You can't say you believe in something and there not be action following it. So, for example, if you say, yo, I believe my house is on fire, right? I believe my house is on fire. But then you go take a bath and you go cook some food and you go watch some TV. Do you really believe your house is on fire? Right? Because belief is an action word, really. Right. And when you say you believe something, there's action that has to follow that if you really believe it. Otherwise, you're just talking like you don't really mean it. Right. So if you say, yo, I made a decision, I believe in God, and then there's no action behind it, there's not a full turn to begin to like say, all right, I believe in you, so I now follow you. Then are you actually a believer? Right? Go back to your conversion. Go back to that moment, like when you made the decision, I believe. Was there a really true conversion in that? Did you make the decision that, you know, above all else, I'll throw everything else to the side to follow you because that's how much I believe that you are the Son of God. That's how much I believe that you created everything. And if I believe that you created everything, nothing else really matters but me following the creator that made everything, right? And realizing that I want to serve the one who created everything, right? Because that's what he's asking of me. He's saying, if you want to follow me and you want to be my disciple, abandon all. So this is a call out to everybody, but it's not a call realistically that everybody's going to answer. And that's why I said Christianity is not for everybody. It's not that God doesn't want you in the camp. It's that you might be saying, I don't want to be in the camp because you're saying, come and follow you. And it's not going to be easy. I can't just get you to give me what I want when I want it. I can't make things snap and appear I can't do things ritually. And I put this in it and I automatically get this out at this specific time. You know, there are religions, you know, supernatural based folk style, Wicca, you know, things like that, that give you that kind of result. Or, you know, or it can't be something where I look into myself and I meditate and I realize that I'm the divine and I'm God. And I just need to come into realization of that and be less ignorant and do good works. And these are things that make me feel better. Right. But here's the thing with all these different things, none of them answer how this world came into existence. And all of them were started by different sages and gurus and, you know, different folks that created their theories and their rituals and tapped into things spiritually, tapped into the spiritual realm illegally, by the way. And in order to form these thoughts and their own versions of, I'll call them holy books, but I wouldn't necessarily say they're holy books, but create these books where they are trying to reach up to God and say, this is who I believe God is, right? But the only book you have, and God would put it in a book, right? Because what better way for God to like provide you with information and it passed down generation after generation after generation after generation after generation, right? What better thing can he provide you other than a book? Word of mouth? Mm-mm-mm. There's nothing better to provide you with than a book. And he proves himself through that book. by having what, I can't remember the exact number of authors off the top of my head at this very moment, I didn't forgot, but I feel like it's somewhere in like the 60, 64, 67 authors or so in the Bible. Don't judge me if I get that number right. Okay. don't judge me if I get the number right. All right. My memory, God is working on it. God is working on my memory. Okay. So you got all these authors and they over more generations than you could ever count. Okay. Just from the beginning of the time all the way to well after Jesus dies. Right. You have all these generations, and in it, God is present in the lives of each of the authors that he chooses. He chooses now. They don't choose themselves. He comes down and chooses them and has hundreds and thousands of witnesses across each generation, very public lives. And God is making declarations and prophecies to them and telling them, go speak it and write it down. Have all the people keep. You know, a record of this thing that I did, that God did for you. He's speaking to them. He's speaking to groups. An entire nation is hearing him speak and hearing his voice and showing other nations around them that he's God, prophesying that he's going to have them win a war, and they win it, prophesying that they're going to lose a war because he's not with them at this moment and they lose it. And then saying all this time, prophesying, we're talking, what, 1500 prophecies, you know, about the coming of the Messiah, about how the end of the world will happen, about even things that will come in future generations of the Bible that they cannot possibly know. Literally, the chance of you just getting one prophecy right is literally, I mean, to something to like the 10th power that you could like get it right. It would just be like, I don't know, I can't remember the numbers of like how the chances, the probabilities are of prophecies, but the chances of you getting a prophetic word correct, especially when we're not talking about like on a psychic level, right? We're talking about in 100 years something's gonna happen, in 50 years something's gonna happen, right? The chances of you getting that right, real slim. Pretty much impossible for a regular person, right? God literally does it over and 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 over from start to finish with this book. There is no other book that can even think to do it. There's even inventions in the book. Inventions. The Bible was the first one to tell us that the earth was round. While for thousands of years, people were thinking it was flat. Like, I mean, it's crazy the amount of things that God himself says and says to them. And then they record it. God himself said this. And it'll be things that I don't even think they realize how profound what God was saying was. And so what I'm saying is, it's the only book where God is reaching down and telling us what it is, and telling us how the world came to be, and telling us how he created it and how he formed it, and telling us that he's going to send a savior for us, and telling us about our sin, and telling us what we need, and telling us that he heals the brokenhearted, and telling us that he's the Lord of peace and only he can give peace. And if you go anywhere else to find it, it's a counterfeit. Only he can tell us the truth that way, which is why when we read it, in a sense, it can kind of hurt because it's telling us about ourselves. But at the same time, it patches up our wounds and heals us and tells us what we need to hear, and we learn about ourselves when we read this book, right? There's a reason. It's because this book is a miracle in itself, and there's no other book in the world that does this. No other book. And then, by the way, that science backs up just unbelievably so. No other book. So I say all that to say, when you come into following Christ, it's not because you're choosing something to try to, you're choosing something to try to like solve all your problems for yourself's sake. you come into Christ because he's the truth. He's the way, he's the life. And the only way you can get to God is through him. And you recognize the revelation of God, and he begins to show you and take the blinders off your eyes about your own sin and about who he is, and gives you a revelation of himself through his Holy Spirit. Right. And so it's much deeper than, you know, kind of like these fleeting needs we feel like we have, that our life is just a vapor. You know what I mean? Our life is just a vapor. And so if Christianity is not working for you, I would say think about that, and think about whether you actually believe in him, and if you've come into the faith for the right reasons. Did you come into the faith for the right reasons? Did you truly believe him, or was he a tool similar to like a meditation, or similar to a ritual or incantation, or something that you would use to try to get what you want, right? Because if that's the case, yo, sure enough, it's not gonna work, because God has his own mind. And when he wrote your DNA, it had a whole plan of how everything was supposed to unravel. I mean, God, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We can never be at that level. He can see far in the future and know how things are going to happen, and therefore knows the plans he has for you. And they're better than the plans you could ever have for yourself. And so sometimes God won't give you what's good for you. But it's like, which daddy do you want? First of all, do you want your biological daddy, or you want a fake one? Second of all, do you want the daddy that's going to give you what you need? Not always what you want, but he'll also give you what you want when it's time. Right. And we have to make a decision that we want what God wants for us. And if you're not sure if he's real and you care about the truth, because some people don't care now, but if you care about the truth, then do your research. Do your research. Do your research on the cloth of Turin. You know, do your research on the proof that Jesus resurrected. Do, I mean, the amount of proof and supporting research and science behind the truth of the Bible is absolutely insane. Like, it's insanity. And so after this, right? So we have this part. I want you to actually think about, is this what I want? If this is the truth, right? If right now we know that Jesus is the truth, do you want him? Or do you just want your truth, even though truth can only, honest truth, the honest truth is truth can only be truth. Everybody can't be right. So do you want truth, or do you want something that works for you right now? And just understand that if it's something that you think works for you right now, if it's not the truth, there will be a sacrifice that you're going to make in your life when you make the decision to trade the truth for deception to be satisfied for right now. Right. Make sure you know that. Another reason Christianity is not working for you, and this is the last one, is the fact that there are two types of fans. The thing about it is that in order to follow Jesus, there you can only be one type of fan to actually do it, you know, to really be a follower of Christ, which is why he said he gave us really clear instructions on what it means to be a disciple. I think the problem today is that we don't use the title of disciple to describe ourselves, right? And that makes it really easy to read past the scriptures where God gave, or Jesus himself gave, a really distinctive guideline on what it means to follow him as God, right? He gave a really distinctive guideline on what it meant to be his disciple. He said, you got to pick up your cross and follow me, right? And picking up your cross is picking up and submitting to whatever it is that he's sort of telling you to do, and saying, yo, what you say for me to do is best for me, and I want to follow you, versus go my own way and do what I want to do and say that's best for me, and say, but I'll still follow you, because are you still following, right? If you've gone your own way. And so what you have in Christendom is you have what I call passive supporters, and then what I also call people that are radically loyal or a radical allegiance. This is the thing. When Jesus breaks down who is to follow him, he essentially tells us you've got to be radical. If you're not radical, it won't work. Like, you won't actually be my follower. And then if that's the case, you've got to question, am I his follower? If I'm not radical for him and I'm just a passive supporter. The thing about being a passive supporter is, you know, in America, we can go to church and it can, and somehow, you know, I don't know what it is about the American church, but it takes all your zeal away. When you first get saved, you're radical for Christ, right? When you truly have that true conversion, God is just everything to you, your first love. And then you see how the Christians seem to be just like, it's not even that exciting to them. And it hasn't seemed to transform every last one of them. And so in that way, in that radical way, and so then we start to just be like, okay, maybe I should just chill out. You know, maybe I should just look like them and be passive supporter. Right. And what I mean by that is I'm going to use fans to sort of break this down. Right. So you have your passive fans, and your passive fans are the people that they won't necessarily proactively share their love for something, or they don't change everything around. They like what this thing offers. Let's say it's a brand. They like a product that it offers, but they don't. And if you ask them about it, if you ask them, they'll say, yeah, I like this thing. You know, I like this thing. I support this. You know, it's pretty good. Like, they're not necessarily the most passionate about the brand, but they do like the brand, right? They do like the thing that they're supporting, a sports team, you know, a vehicle company or whatever, a brand that they like, right? They're passive, right? But then you have your loyal fans, and your loyal friends, they got the t-shirt, they got the outfit, they're repping it everywhere. They've created a club, they support it, they pretty much worship the thing that they're a fan of, and they'll drop everything for this thing. They're checking on it every single day. They're checking the stats. They're where are we at right now? Where are you going? Where's the brand, the person, the team? Where are they at right now? They're looking at the books. They're reading the ins and outs. How did this play happen? You know, they can tell you the back, the end, the front, the top, the bottom, the everything about that thing, right? Because they're not passive, they are radical in their following of that thing. And so what you'll find is that if you find yourself being passive about Jesus, what's going to happen is at the core of that is an unbelief problem. At the core is an unbelief problem. The reason that you would not be a full-on fan of Jesus is because you don't buy it all. There's got to be full buy-in for you to be a radical fan of something, right? And sometimes we'll just be like, well, that's not really my personality. No, no, no. If you really believe in something, be it introverted or extroverted, you are all in, though, to that thing that you're into. You're all in if you really believe it wholeheartedly. It blessed your socks off. It's really all that in a bag of chips. Like, it really doesn't fall short. We never see anything like that in life. So if something doesn't fall short, we're all in, right? The only reason we would not be all in is if we don't really buy it. Like, you know, yeah, this thing is cool, but like, I mean, you know, I don't really like, it's not, I mean, it's cool and everything, but I don't think it take all that. Like, I don't think it takes all this, you know, rah-rah, you know, I don't think it takes all that. Like, it's not that deep, right? And so we have to question why we would see God that way and see his word like that. If we see it like that, somewhere we don't buy it's the truth. Somewhere we don't really believe in it. Somewhere there's a kink, you know, there's somewhere where somewhere it's not making sense to us. Somewhere it's not adding up. And you got to think about it. Why haven't I bought in all the way? And what you're going to find is it's a domino effect. If you didn't buy in and from, you know, somewhere you didn't buy in, what's going to happen? Well, I'm not buying the t-shirt. Well, I'm not finna keep up with everything. Yo, I don't like how they handled this. Yo, I don't agree with their mindset on that. Yo, I don't like the theology around this. Yo, when it says that, you know, I know it says that, but I mean, what I found in my life is that that's not really the truth, right? You know, I think it's weird to kind of be a, that kind of level of a follower. You know, I'm not really with it. And so what happens is that level of doubt is now going to cause, is going to have an effect on your actions, because now your actions are not going to add up either, right? So then that's where sin comes in. The sin is just a symptom. It's a symptom of our unbelief, which is why when you go back, you know, to see, to read about the Israelites in the wilderness, it's like, yo, why were they wilding out like this? God gave, told them specifically what he wanted them to do. He said, yo, don't have no other gods. And then they went and made some other gods. He said, yo, don't take on these women over here. And then they went and got these women over here. And then he said, yo, don't go gather food on the Sabbath. And they went out and tried to gather food on Sabbath. Like, why didn't they listen? Because they didn't believe him. Down at the, if you go track on back, they kept testing God because they didn't believe him. And so as a result, when we don't believe, you'll find that when the opportunity presents itself and the lie comes, the sin comes, it's glamorous. The sin seems so, something about it seems so honest. Something about it seems so true. Something about it identifies with you and what you want and your desires and your, and what you want for your life. And you say, yo, that actually looks more true to me. I'm going that way. And you don't look as true to me anymore. Right? And so when you make a decision that you're going to keep going that way and go for that thing, you're saying essentially, yo, this doesn't work for me, but that does work for me. And so you're trading the good thing for the deception. And you're, if you're still claiming to be a believer, you're saying, yo, I'm a fan. I'm just more of a supporter fan. I'm not really, I won't, I'm, my radical allegiance doesn't, is not there. And so it goes all the way back to Luke 14, when Jesus says to the multitude, hey, just so you know, if you want to follow me, I need your radical allegiance. If you don't give me your radical allegiance, notice the words he says, you can't be my disciple. It's not him putting a line in the sand. It's he's saying it doesn't, it won't work. I want you to be my disciple, but it won't work. It won't work. Nothing will work out right. And you're going to jump into a war and be severely underprepared. And the devil's going to kick your butt because you're going to jump into this thing and you won't have what is going to cost to finish, and you'll become a casualty. Nobody goes into the army and goes to war half-hearted. That's why for them, the mentality, taking on that army mentality is everything, because you can become a casualty if you go in with the wrong mentality and your allegiance is not fully to them and the people that you're serving when you go to war. Right. And so it's true. Christianity may not be serving you anymore because it's not meant to serve you how you're thinking if you're treating it like a tool. But you have to make a decision. Do I want the truth or do I want a tool? Am I going to be a passive supporter, which really in the end means that you're not, like, because it's not a sports team, right? Means you're not really with it because you can't play defense. That's the thing about this thing. You can't play defense. You either on his side or you're not. You either in a battle with him or you're not. You either following him or you're not. You can't half follow navigation. Can you imagine? It's like I got navigation on my car and I'm going to Florida from California. And sometimes I follow the navigation and sometimes I don't. Where am I going to end up? I'm not going to end up in Florida. If I said I'm going from California to Florida or wherever my destination was, you get my drift. I am not going there. I'm not going there. I'm going to end up in Idaho somewhere. I'm going to end up in Ohio. Like, I'm not going to end up in my destination because I wasn't following. That's the thing about this thing. It doesn't work like a sports team, unfortunately. And we treat Christianity, we treat God like a sports team, when really it's closer to navigation. In order to get to the destination, you got to follow real close. And you got to have radical allegiance. Otherwise, you'll become a casualty. All right. So, I came in shorter. I was trying to not do a whole hour this time and I tried to go 30 minutes, but I ended up at the 40 minute mark. Well, I'll be. It'll be all right. I hope this was helpful for you. If it was, leave a comment. Please subscribe. Please share with your friends, your peoples, your families. Okay. And come back. Thank you so much. Have a nice day, night, whatever time of the day it is for you. Okay, goodbye.